prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? I want to start by just telling a story. It's the story of a son who was at a big public banquet. It was the whole community together to celebrate this young man's father. And there was people that would get up and share, people that would tell things about what they appreciated of this boy's father. And in the midst of the banquet, somebody kind of elbowed him and said, "Hey, you should stand up. You should say something about your father." Well, before the young man could even respond, the person who was kind of leading the whole meeting overheard the suggestion and said, "Oh yeah, young man, stand up. Tell us about your father." And so a little bit unprepared, but he stood up and said, "Well, I just want to thank everyone for coming and for recognizing how special my dad is and how much I appreciate him. I love him, and thank you." And he sat down, and the whole banquet applauded. They were excited to hear from him and appreciated what he shared. After the banquet was all over, people were visiting, and he came up to his dad and just kind of leaned into him and said, "Dad, I just want to let you know I really meant that. I really do love you. I really am thankful for you being my dad." And they hugged and then continued on visiting people throughout the banquet. The banquet was over, and the son and father had taken two separate vehicles, so the son headed out first to head back home, and the father was still visiting with people before he returned home. And on the ride home, the road was slippery, and the son lost control, went into a ditch, and hit a pole, and was injured badly, and was laying there thinking, "My dad's coming down the same way. He'll be here any minute." And just then, he sees headlights. And so he leans out and waves up from the ditch and says, "Dad, help." And of course, it was his father, and he stopped and pulled him out of the wreckage. He was bleeding. He got bandages. He was cold, and put a warm blanket around him, put him into his vehicle, and started to take him home. But right as he's wrapping the blanket around him, the son says, "Thank you. Thank you for stopping." And his dad kind of laughs. Of course I'm going to stop. You're my son." As they're headed home, his son is starting to feel warmer, a little better. And he says, "Dad, I know I've got some chores and a project I was supposed to work on before heading to bed, but I'm really hurting. Is it all right if I ask you to do that for me so that I can go ahead and just go straight to sleep?" And he said, "Yeah, son, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. You rest. I got it covered." And as they get home, he's helping him hobble up the stairs into his room. And he says, "Oh, Dad, I just remembered. I had promised a friend of mine that I would go tomorrow and go help him with a project. And he just wanted to visit and talk about how he's doing. I'm not feeling I can do it. Would you be willing to go do that for me? To go visit with him, help him with whatever project he's got, and would you do that for me?" And his dad said, "Yeah, son, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of that." The next morning, his dad had made breakfast. The whole family was sitting together, and they helped him hobble down the stairs and sit at the table. And before they started eating, he said, "Can I just ask us all to pause and just say thank you to Dad? He's been a great help yesterday in taking care of me. He's put this breakfast together for us. I just want to, as a family, say thank you." And so they did. They paused, and each of them took a turn just saying thank you to their dad for the things he had done. Prayer is a powerful weapon, a powerful tool. Are we using it? Ephesians 6, 10 to 19. If you have your Bible, you can open to it. And we'll spend some time looking at what God's Word says. I'll start by just reading it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. As I studied this, and I wanted to kind of give you a window into kind of the process God took me through this week of looking at this passage, and the first part is I just outlined each section of this passage, and just looking at how much space is given to each topic that goes through, and what things really stood out as emphasized here. The first section, talking about the full armor of God and take your stand. Then we see a pretty significant chunk given to describing who our enemy is, both who our enemy is not and who he is. And then it repeats, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Stand firm. Then it goes into the metaphor that I think we're all familiar with of the armor of God. You've got the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, the sword, and each one of those could be a sermon in itself. It would be a fun series to go through. And yet, the part that stood out to me as I studied this is I tend to stop right at verse 17. I tend to go, okay, the armor of God is complete, it's done. But it doesn't stop. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And this is really the verse that, as I was studying, I really zeroed in on. But we see not only a significant portion given to pray, but then the next verse, the next two verses, is an example of Paul asking for prayer and giving an example of how to pray for people. The next part that I jumped into as I was studying is looking for repeated phrases or words. And see that the yellow would be the Lord, the Spirit. So we see the theme of be strong in the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, praying for all of the Lord's people. We see the full armor of God is a repeated phrase. Stand firm, take your stand, to stand. We see the enemy repeated of the devil, the rulers against the authorities, powers of this dark world, the day of evil, the evil one. And we also, again, see the theme of prayer. Pray, prayers and requests, praying, pray also, pray. Repeated themes in this passage that really stood out to me. Again, prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? As I looked at this passage, I really saw three commands. Specifically looking at verse 18, there's like 15 commands if you look through the whole section. But in just this verse, we have pray in the Spirit, be alert, and keep on praying. There's four all statements, the idea of on all occasions, all kinds of prayers, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. A fun side note that I caught as I was looking at words, Paul asking for prayer, he says, that words may be given me, which after reading the book of Romans, I never thought Paul would be short on words. And yet, he's very vulnerable here. He's saying, I don't know what to say sometimes. Pray that words would be given me. And then he says that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, the idea that he does have fears. And he's asking for boldness. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul makes two very significant requests. They're not surface requests of, you know, he could have kind of masked it and said, you know, pray that people would hear my words and pray that people would notice how bold I am. Well, that kind of, you know, makes him look a little better. Sometimes when I ask for prayer, I mask it a little bit. I don't actually go to the deep things. I cover it over with kind of a nice way to say it, just in case somebody's going to be less than gracious with me. And yet Paul opens up, he's vulnerable, and says, pray that I would have words to speak, that I would be fearless. He's very open and honest. And he's asking that people exercise this powerful weapon. Again, prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? But there's five things that really stood out to me. Praying in the Spirit, praying on all occasions, all kinds of prayers, be alert, and keep on praying for the Lord's people. In the Spirit, praying in the Spirit has the idea of praying in accordance with the Spirit or in the strength of the Spirit or lining up our thoughts with God's thoughts. And it seems to me that before we can go any further with the encouragement to pray in the Spirit, you have to point out that if you're not a Christian, you can't do this. There is no way to pray in the Spirit if the Holy Spirit is not in you. If you have not recognized your need for being saved, admitted you're a sinner, ask God for His help, ask God for His power to be in your life, to conquer the power of sin and death that's in us before, we can't pray in the Spirit. And that really stood out to me of, you know, I can't know everyone's hearts here. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, you need to first make that first prayer that's in the Spirit of admitting you're a sinner and asking for God's help, asking for God's power. But for those of us who already have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the task of setting aside our selfish desires and saying, God, I will pray according to what you want. And suddenly prayer becomes something of confidence, not a question mark of, God, do you want to do this? I'm not really sure. Because if we're praying in the Spirit, we already know the Father, and we know what He wants to accomplish. We do see Jesus as He prays. Sometimes you can't quite tell if He's praying or commanding, because He's so confident about knowing what the Father's doing. We can, at times, have that same confidence. Do we always have that confidence? No. Even Jesus recognized He had a desire to not go to the cross. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? And He says, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. What He's basically doing, and that's another sermon in itself again, but is saying, I'm going to set aside the desire I have to live and remind myself that I'm lining up with the will of the Father. And there's times we need to pray the same thing of, Lord, set aside my desires. I want to match what you think. A great story I read was about a guy that he had been praying for his brother to be saved for 30 years. And someone made a comment to him of, wow, you prayed for 30 years and he was finally saved. That's neat. And the thing that came to my mind as I'm reading this story is going, God is not a machine that operates on the gasoline of prayer. That's not how it works. We don't have to pump in enough prayers to get God to work. And his response to this man was, I already knew the Lord had convicted me that he was going to save my brother. So it wasn't me praying for 30 years that he would be saved. It was me agreeing with God for 30 years that he would be saved. And there's a mental difference there that says it's not me twisting God's arm in prayer. It's not me persisting in it to get God to do what I want. It's me persisting in it because I know what God wants. And I'm confident. And so I keep on praying because I know this is what God's going to do. And that changes things. That changes the way we view it. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? The other part that comes up is pray on all occasions. The phrase that came to mind was, do we pray on all occasions or occasionally? And I don't mean infrequently, I mean, do we have certain moments in a day that trigger prayer? And there's nothing wrong with that, but is that all there is? We have a tradition of praying before meals. That's an occasion that triggers in our memories, oh yeah, let's give thanks to God. Nothing wrong with it, but is that all we're doing? Are we only praying occasionally on those occasions, or are we following Scripture, praying on all occasions? It goes the next step with all kinds of prayers. All kinds of prayers and requests. There, if you noticed in the story, I intentionally weaved into it all different kinds of conversation the son had with the father. He had a public conversation where he complimented his father publicly, right? He had a private conversation where he talked with his father just between the two of them. He had an emergency where he called out to the father for help. He had a request where he asked the father to do something for him. And then he had requests for others, for the father to do something for others. And then he had a conversation with his family, giving thanks to the father. There's all kinds of prayers, all kinds of ways to pray, all kinds of styles of prayer. My kids have done a great job of reminding me, songs are a way to pray. That we can pray to the Father in song. Now, does that mean we can also sing a song and there's no prayer in the midst of it because we've just moved into song mode? Well, yeah, and we do the same thing with prayer, don't we? Where we just kind of talk and we forget that we're actually speaking to the Father in conversation with Him. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? The story I started with was intentionally a little bit safe. There was no terrible intensity to it. But if we start looking at the context of this passage, you have to shift. It's no longer a son and a father only. It's a general and a soldier. Because the context here is in battle, in spiritual battle. And now it's no longer a request for help from a minor vehicle injury, but it's a request for help because there's bullets flying, or swords swinging, or however you want to envision the battle, but it's a spiritual battle, we know that. So we've got suddenly an intensity that comes, and we're given the weapon of prayer. We're given the task of prayer. So it says, be alert. It says, with this in mind, don't miss that prayer is not mindless. With this in mind, be alert. Be aware. And the first idea, because of the context, is be aware of your enemy. Be aware of what you're battling against. But it also holds the idea of be aware of your co-laborers. be aware of the people around you. Part of what stood out to me, I was thinking back several weeks ago, I don't know what prompted me to do this, but I was talking with someone, and I just wanted to get to a deeper level of conversation. And so I just looked at him and said, how are you doing? Are you staying encouraged? And that was enough to prompt them to give me an honest answer, to say how they were doing. And as a result, I could walk away from that conversation and be able to pray for them in a meaningful way. I was willing to say, hey, I really do want to hear to an honest depth how you're doing. And they were able to respond honestly and say, well, I'm encouraged in this area and this area is a little low. And in the end, we were both encouraged. And I got to walk away praying and rejoicing for the area they were encouraged in and asking for the Father to encourage them in the other areas. In the same way, being aware of those around us and letting others be aware of us. Sometimes I kind of hold it all in, and if somebody asks how I'm doing, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. And sometimes the situation demands that. There's not time to go into depth. But when we have opportunity, we're a family here. To be honest with one another and to share, you know what? I'm having a rough week. Or this is really on my mind and I could use prayer in this. And we have to be also willing to offer that, saying we have to go beyond the how are you that triggers the surface response to maybe something like how can I pray for you? Something that triggers I really want to know on a deeper level. I really want to stand with you and walk with you in life. And that's part of the being alert, being aware of our enemy, being aware of our co-laborers. Again, prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? Then it gets to keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. To not give up, to be persistent, to persevere, to not stop. One of the things as I was studying that was, what are some just really, maybe even selfish, but practical reasons for why we would want to keep on praying for one another? Why would we do that? What benefit do we see both for the Father, for others, but also for ourselves? And just open it up for your guys' thoughts. Why would we keep on praying for all the Lord's people?
Because there's always something to pray about.
Because there's always something to pray about.
I find it encourages me if I pray for other people, because it's helping getting my focus off of me and on the others around me.
Yep. It draws our focus off of ourselves onto others.
Good heart check on the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second is likewise loving your neighbor as yourself. Praying for those around us, keep both of those very much in mind.
As a body of believers, we're not always all doing well at the same time. So, well, some of us are strong, some of us are struggling, and it helps keep things evened out. So when people are struggling and you're not, and you're praying for them, it helps them. And then when you're struggling and they're not.
Yep.
So I think it builds us together as a body, as well as encouraging people.
Yep. You're triggering one of the commentaries I pulled up. This is what gave me the idea. He started a list of reasons to pray for your brothers. And he says, first of all, because they're our brothers. We're supposed to. But then he said, because somewhere in the world, every day, there is a Christian dying. And we should be praying for them. As they enter into glory and face death. And yet we know academically, and we know that it's a positive thing to enter glory, it is still a scary thing. and praying for them to have courage. And then he says, and then we also receive the benefit of when we're facing death, we've seen in our own lives that we have the habit of praying for those, that we're also encouraged knowing that others are probably praying for us. And, yeah. Other ideas?
It can protect us from sin because our mind is occupied positively.
And on the other side, remembering that our brothers and sisters face sin and they need us to stand with them in prayer. Praying for, we don't assume that everyone around us is perfect. And asking God to stand with them in things that they might not be willing to share with us. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? Another story that really, or Colossians 4:2 also comes to mind when we still on the back to being alert. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. It's Colossians 4:2, and again reiterating being aware, and also part of that watchful is looking expectantly for what God's going to do. Sometimes I think my prayers are more question marks of, God, will you do this? And sometimes that's my fault for not being watchful, not being expectant, not being aware. And so as I increase in my desire to be watching for what God's doing, it becomes less about, I wonder if God's going to do this, to, hey, we prayed about this. God's going to do something. And if he's not going to do what we asked for, that's fine, because God's smarter than we are. He's going to do something better. So we can, again, pray with confidence because we know he listens, he answers. Prayer is a mystery. I can't put my finger on how it all works. It's a gift. It's a mystery. It's a powerful weapon. And we're called to use it. I came up with another story of five men that decided to ignore different portions of this passage. And they were headed out on a hunting trip, and they were all in an aircraft together, and the engine quit. They had to ditch the plane, and they're long ways from the nearest community. And the first man, he says, boy, guys, we should pray. We should all get together and pray. And I think we should pray for God to provide some hot chocolate, a TV, and a nice movie that we can sit down and watch and just really be comfortable while we wait for him to come rescue us. Not exactly praying in the spirit. He's much more focused on what he wants. Well, the next man, he says, well, I really don't think we should pray at all. I think that this is not an occasion that we're supposed to pray. That, you know, we've got all this hunting gear. We can just start our hunting trip early. I'll start setting up the shelter, and this is not something to pray about, and I refuse to pray. He had set occasions for prayer, and this wasn't one of them. The third man says, well, yeah, I think it's a good idea to pray, but it is not okay to pray unless you're on your knees. So I insist that everyone get on their knees so that we can pray. Because if you're not on your knees, you can't pray. And I also don't believe we should pray about anything except the salvation of people. And all of us here are saved, so we should be praying for the world that they would be saved. And that's the only subject we should be praying about. So as he begins praying, the fourth man is sitting there listening and shivering because he's cold. And he says, I don't think it matters if we pray or not. And he goes to sleep. And he's unaware. The last one, he kneels one knee, says, Lord, help us. And then he gets up and walks away. And as he's walking away, he hollers back, "I prayed for it once, I'm not going to pray again." Each of these five men have missed one of the elements in God's instructions here. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Are we using it? We're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So obviously, as I've studied this, there are things that I'm convicted on that I want to work on and be growing in my intentional effort to use the weapon of prayer, to be praying on purpose, both in devoted times, you know, even in the midst of, as we're talking right now, studying God's word, each of us can be praying in our minds for the others around us, for the word to penetrate into our hearts. We can be praying constantly. My challenge to you is to look at the Word of God here and identify what is something that you personally need to get better at, that you need to raise your awareness of what God's asking you to do, to use the powerful weapon of prayer, to put it into practice. A suggestion is, we have potluck coming up right after, and intentionally go deeper in conversation. Identify one person and ask them, "How can I pray for you?" And then through the rest of the day, both pray with them at the moment if possible, and then through the rest of today, continue to remember them in prayer. An easy first step to increasing the use of this weapon God has given us. It's a gift. It's a powerful weapon. Let's pray. God, I am so thankful. I do not understand how prayer works, but I am very thankful that you have given it to us. A tool not only to communicate with you, but to encourage one another. And God, I pray that as we have spent time looking in your word, that it would be planted in our minds, that we would continue to think about and be corrected by, if we have any wrong thinking that needs corrected, if we have any right thinking that needs confirmed. God, I just ask that you would first convict us of anything that we need to sharpen up and correct, and that we also would be a body that stands together in prayer, that lifts one another up in prayer, that we use this powerful weapon. Thank you, God, for giving us this tool, and for so clearly giving us teaching on how to use it. Amen.